Us by Hillier Townsend. Read by Peter Brook. Dear person who's reading this, chances are good you've been wondering about this place for a long time. Probably told gory stories about us to your friends as a kid. Hid under your blankets when a friend told you one. Later you sucked down the rumors about where we came from, what we did behind closed doors. Maybe started some yourself. Always wanted a peep show, didn't you? Well, lucky you, you little perv. You're here. And thanks to this letter, you'll be the only one who can fill in the blanks when the shit hits the fan. I'll start you at the beginning. Little Ginny is dead. That's the ground zero of this whole deal. To be upfront, she wasn't my favorite person here in our happy little compound. She had a real attitude. Plus, I'd just about faint if she came around a corner when I wasn't expecting her. Never quite got used to her, visage. But I never gave her shit about it. No need to add insult to her injuries, acquired when a whack job decided to protest animal experimentation by breaking into a lab and slicing up the first white-coated demon he could lay his hands on, which turned out to be little Ginny. Ironically, her job there was to sanitize the lab equipment. She'd never even seen those tragic lab chimps, let alone vivisected one. It was Ginny's additional bad luck to be a part-timer, ergo no benefits. So the lab owners graciously paid for a cut-rate repair job, head-to-toe, no do-overs, and considered themselves damn generous. As if, right? What a mess. Not that I'm much easier on the eyes. Totally my own fault, I own it. Like all punk-ass dudes, I thought I was invulnerable, which is why I did not avail myself of the protective power of a helmet and face shield prior to spinning out on loose gravel at 70 miles per hour. Anyway, little Ginny came here to live with us, and now she's dead. Killed by, ready for this? Sasquatch meat. More precisely, meat put out to catch Sasquatch. Which, of course, could only happen here in way backwoods Maine, where we breathe balsam air that makes every day smell like Christmas, where we found peace and an escape from a soul-killing world, traveled from diverse directions and all walks of life to this compound of small, sweet cabins, in a place with nothing but boulders the glacier didn't want, wicked tall pines, and plenty of distance from everywhere except a small town wherein dwell a few kind souls willing to manage our disability benefits, send in supplies, and keep mum about us and where we live. Back to poor little Ginny. It's because of Tommy and his genetic misfortunes that the Sasquatch thing got started in the first place. Tommy is a young guy, younger than me, with lots of energy. He needs to go rock climbing, swimming, that sort of thing. Being away from the world for just about his whole life has been harder on him than on any of us. So no one blames him for ranging far and wide once in a while. Every time before he left, he'd promise he'd be careful not to be seen, not attract their attention to us. But last summer, he got careless. A pack of birdwatchers he should have heard coming tumbled through the underbrush and got an eyeful of Tommy swimming naked, or rather, without his clothes, because with all that hair, Tommy is never technically naked. They howled and he ran, leaving huge misshapen footprints 2 inches deep in that black gunk around the pond. You can guess the rest. Life was basically hell after word of the sighting got out. Our last chance for a normal life in a place of our own, our sanctuary, threatened every time a bunch of college kids or a New Age Wiccan, shaman, witch doctor, or, God help me, a fucking TV crew came sniffing around for Sasquatch. We took turns as lookouts, our stomachs always in knots, ready to sound the alarm if any of them got too close. Tommy was over the top with guilt, panic attacks every other minute. Then, some asshole managed to bumble his way practically to our doorstep. He set out a 2-inch, dripping raw T-bone infused with enough downers to drop Godzilla. Never mind lead Sasquatch back to civilization by one hairy paw. That delicacy is what little Jenny, out on her daily meditation walk, found, cooked, and ate. Dang. Who knows why she wolfed down a random piece of meat? Maybe she thought it fell out of one of the boxes of supplies delivered by the townie chick who actually looks me in the eye. Maybe Jenny was just desperate for a good piece of beef. Maybe she'd cracked up. Who the hell knows? All we knew was that one of our own was dead, because they couldn't leave the hidden hid. We also knew that eventually they would find us. But that wasn't foremost in our community's mind. Bloody red revenge for little Jenny's death was all that most of us could think about. March into town and burn it to the ground. Slaughter anything that moved, even those few kind souls. In the emergency meeting held the night Jenny died, Georgie swore that one of the townies must have blabbed about us or blogged about our location. "That's crazy," I scrawled on the whiteboard in big black letters. If someone had posted our actual location, the media would already be on us like flies. Georgie backed down, but Marilyn and a handful of others were bent on grabbing the next bunch of Sasquatch hunters that showed up and rendering them fit to join us. "Give me a break," my marker blazed across the board. "That's straight out of Freaks." I pounded the wall with my fist, frustrated but also scared by their stupidity. "Look, what happened to poor Jenny sucks, but we need to do something that keeps them away, not that attracts more attention." That's when all 7 feet of Tommy slowly telescoped up from where he sat at the front of the room. "I'm going," he said, brushing long red strands away from his lips to draw deeply on an unfiltered camel. He exhaled, the strands lifting gently with the smoke. "It's on me. My fault. I have to make it up to little Jenny. And you guys." All of us, all at once, started talking him out of it. But as he went on, we could see that there was indeed something to what he said about him leaving being a good thing. As Sasquatch, he'd be famous, he said. He'd meet people, travel, have a fan club, probably. Everyone would think it was cool that Sasquatch was smart and kind and funny. It'd be awesome. "Once I'm out there," he said finally, sweeping a powerful copper-haired arm over our heads and toward the south, "there'll be no reason for anyone to come here. I'll tell them I'm the last one. The last Sasquatch anywhere. You'll be safe, like before." It's true that while many of us had misgivings about him leaving, in the end, no one tried very hard to stop him. However things would turn out for Tommy, we were pretty sure he was right about things going better for us. And they did. Space cadets no longer prowled our perimeter hunting mythical monsters. We could kick back in our deck chairs, drink a few brewskis, and watch the sun sink below the pines with no worries about being spotted. Kayla's reports from the internet she hacked into behind the police station after dark assured us that Tommy had become a celebrity sure enough. Got his picture taken with Stephen Colbert. Got all the interviews and groupies he wanted. Lived la vida buena right up until last night when Tommy's manager, Bucky, and a few of Bucky's dickhead buddies thought it would be a gas to take Sasquatch clubbing. You'd never think a big guy like Tommy would be such a lightweight when it comes to booze, but it's a fact. Last night, it only took a couple of Yukon Jacks to get him singing, and a couple more to start him talking about us. In short order, Bucky and his pals booked out of there, stiffing Tommy with the tab because Tommy wasn't Sasquatch to them anymore. He was just a big, furry freak. Tommy immediately texted Kayla about what had gone down, along with 1,000 apologies and the no-shit Sherlock news that Bucky, his boys, and their video cams were on their way. Nobody messes with my boy Tommy. This time around, I was of like mind with the rest. When the Buckman et al. Breached our boundaries a few hours ago, we were more than ready to tap into months, no, years of pent-up, pissed-off rage. Rage at a world that didn't want us, but didn't have the decency to leave us the fuck alone. Once we started wielding our implements of destruction, things being Bucky and his posse, fell apart fast. You start spreading the human body around, it goes a long, long way. We spread four of them right across the porch, onto the patio and into the woods, not in the most organized fashion, I must admit. You had to watch where you walked. I skidded down the steps on gobs of pink something. Almost fell on my ass. Georgie actually did take a shitter when he was chasing the new kid, swinging a rope of intestine like a cowboy after a calf. Phoebe and Marilyn, couple of goofballs, slid-slammed into each other playing ultimate with fat little frisbees. Earlobes, actually. Yet all good things must end. When it came time for us to start the arduous task of cleaning up the Bucky bits, I cut out and came back here to my room. Hacking up cheesy guys in cheesy $100 suits in the heat of battle, that's one thing. Shoveling them into dishpans afterwards is something else entirely. No thank you very much. Anyhow, that's the dealio. I'm assuming, dear person who's reading this, that you showed up at some point not too long after my exit. We probably should have partied less loudly so as not to pique your curiosity. Possibly you arrived in a roiling wave of villagers who stormed our castle with torches and rakes and whatever you could get your vengeful little hands on, then went souvenir hunting and found this missive. Or mayhaps you barreled in with carloads of cops who cuffed and subdued any of us still in situ, then pillaged our rooms looking for evidence. Well, here's your evidence, and it sets the record straight. Whoever you are, and whatever happens from here on in to whoever you get hold of, just show some mercy, okay? It wasn't us that started this. As for me, as soon as I finish this, I'm getting the hell out of Dodge. Pocket my pen and a pad of paper, grab a hoodie, slip into town on the down low. Maybe that townie chick's working the night shift. I'll whip her up some excellent prose with at least 10 good reasons she'd want to drive me to the highway. Maybe I'll even score a kiss goodbye.